first day of the real Burlington Christmas, and perhaps the first time it's ever been the first Sunday in Lent. I don't think we've had that before, Bruce, have you? Anyway, I'm Jim Allen. I'm your duty elder today. And what we will do is if you would turn to the call to worship. I have no announcements beyond what are in the bulletin, so we'll go with the call to worship entitled First Sunday in Lent. Change is coming, for God's plans are unfolding. Each day is filled with new possibilities. Change is a part of God's plan. Out of nothing, God created all things. God called it good. God has good plans for us. Plans to bring out wholesome, wholeness, and peace. Let us pray. Creator God, we begin our Lenten journey, trusting that you are actively involved in our lives. Whatever circumstance comes our way, we can remain secure in your steadfast love and courageous as we venture into the new life you have in store for us. Change is very much a part of life as you have created it. Help us navigate each day, seeking your ways, the power of your Holy Spirit, honoring Christ, all that we do. In Christ's name, amen. The first hymn will be, Come Thou Almighty King, number 293.
As we enter Lent in this first Sunday, two things I wanted to just mention about Lent. During Lent, traditionally the word Alleluia is not mentioned in services and certainly sort of out loud traditionally. And the reason for that is that this season is a kind of an exile where the people of God lived in exile. Jesus was apart from God in some of his journey to the cross. And we remember that the days of Lent are for for contemplating who we are, and we're coming to our prayer of adoration and confession, and it's a time that Lent is that time of self-reflection. We also have several items out here. These falls are purple, and I have purple in my stole today. Purple is also a good color during Lent. It's the additional symbol of penance, and the scripture tells us that a purple garment was placed on Jesus during his walk journey to the cross as a form of mockery. So it's fitting that the color be maintained during these days in which we focus on our own sense of the reality of sin that comes into our lives during this time. So you see lots of purple, and it's something to remind us of who we are before God. And in that light, we come before God now with our prayers of adoration and confession. And I know that many Presbyterian churches are not very formal and traditional, but the Presbyterian Church has a long history of certain types of traditions. I did find this bit of information. I digress a little bit, but I did want to share this with you, that in 1640, the Church of Scotland, which I guess is our Presbyterian heritage in so many ways, abolished Christmas and all the observations there for all time coming. And the purpose of that was that all the Christmas meant during that time period often was just parties and drinking and playing games, but not spending any time reflecting on the birth of Christ. So their answer to that was, we'll start a tradition and we'll ban Christmas. We're not banning Christmas. But Lent is something that's not always directly observed in the Presbyterian Church, and we have here, and many do now today, in our day and age in which we live, and Lent is a time, as I said, it's a journey for us, it's a time for us to become closer to God. Psalm 137 starts with this verse, and it's famous because it was a song many years ago. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. The children of Israel were no longer in the place where they could worship. They were in Babylon. And this song says that they remember sitting and thinking about the joy that God was for them when they were back where they should be. Our prayers of adoration and confession remind us of that. And always, as I think of rivers of Babylon, I think of flowing water. And again, I think of our baptism. And this is our time during Lent, and this time this morning, to reflect on that baptism, on those clear waters that God gives us. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, your Son fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but he did not sin. Give us grace to direct our lives in obedience to your Spirit, that as you know our weaknesses, so we may know your power to save through Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to the whole community of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned. We have not walked the road you call us to, and that causes us to be separated from you. And often, Lord, very often, of our own fault, this is done through thought or word or deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. There has been times, Lord, we have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. There's been times, Lord, we have not remembered these clear waters of our baptism, where we have not spent, as it says in Psalm 137, sat by the rivers and wept and remembered how much your love means to us. There's been times we've not loved our neighbors, times we've not forgiven. Have mercy on us, God. We have not always listened to your call to serve Christ in our world as Christ has served us. Lord, we come before you knowing that this time of Lent in particular is a time for us to really spend some time understanding where we are, where we need to grow, and where we need to let your Spirit move us and guide us to walk even closer to you. And by walking closer to you, Lord, to begin to live closer to you. And that means that our lives change. Your mercy is great. The gift of grace is amazing. Help us to fully in this time, this morning and through all of Lent, to embrace that, to understand that, and to always know we can come to you in an act of prayer and an act of repentance. And now, Lord, we unite our hearts, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. We are forgiven. We can be at peace. Thanks be to God. Amen. A lovely challenge during this Lent time and a lovely song to be heard to encourage us. Now we'll join for our children's hymn number 516, and we'll have the children come forward during the singing of the third verse for time together.
Thank you.
Hey guys, how are you today? Good? Yeah? Want to see what's in the box? Yeah? Really? Really want to see what's in the box? Yes? Yes? Okay. I'll open it up. We've seen this before, haven't we? Do you remember this? Well, who would wear something like this? Do you know? How about an explorer? Somebody looking for something, yeah? Would you like to wear the hat? Yeah? You can put the hat on. There you go. Would you like to hold the magnifying glass? You want to? Okay, you can do that. Sure. And I'll hold the tape, because you're going to help me with, we're going to do some exploring. I'll give you a clue, okay? I want you to see if you can think of a place where somebody talks about God in the building here. Where would that be? Yeah? Well, let's look over here. Come on. And see what we can find. Oh, look, there's a piece of paper taped over here. Shall we see what this has on it? Yeah? All right, I'll take that off. What's the first thing we have here? What's this? What's that? Numbers, 1 to 10. 1 to 10, I wonder what that's all about. And what's this? You know what that is? What's this? It's a letter T. That's right. So we've got a couple of things we've found. I'll give you another clue. Something we already did this morning about water and baptism. Do you know where that is? Let's see if we can find water and baptism. Let's see. I think that's on this side. Do you think it's over here? I think it is. Let's see if we can find it. Okay. Is there more something over here? Can you find something over here about water and baptism? More paper. Let's see what this one has to say to us. This one has the numbers 1 to 20. And what's that letter? Anybody? Letter L. Now, here's another clue. I'm going to leave these up here for the moment. Next clue is, where do we sit to hear about God's Word? Where are they sitting? Yeah, let's go down this way and see if we can find something. Got to keep that magnifying glass up so we can see where we're going. Are you with me? Come on, guys. He's hiding under the hat pretty good, isn't he? And let's see if we can find somewhere where we... Oh, I think I found it. Can you guys find it? What do we... You see it? Down here. Another piece of paper. Whoops, I tore it. Sorry. That one has the numbers 21 to 30 on it and the letter N. Where can we find things that we can use to sing about God and read about God? Well, that's, you may not know that spot, so follow me. I think I know where that is. Mr. Shields is over here, too. It's not Mr. Shields, but there's something over here, up here. More paper. And we have the numbers 1 to 40 this time. And what letter do we have? What letter is that? Letter E, right? Let's go up to the front and we'll see what we got all these letters for. You're doing a good job helping me. Oop! It's hard to see with that helmet on. Good thing you had it on, too. Good thing you... That's where you're going again. Don't you hit another one. Let's see all the letters. You can have a seat on the stairs and I'll get the other pieces of paper. Let's see what we've got here. Let's see what we've got here. Good exploring, everybody. Good help. Well, we've got the numbers 1 to 40. They're all kind of taped together, kind of weird. But we've got the numbers 1 through 40. There's 1 to 11 and then 20. And then we have 21 to 30 and then 31 to 40. Do you know why that number is important, 40? I'll tell you in a second when we spell the word. Let's see what word we can get out of this. We have the letter N-E-T-L. What does that spell? Nettle. No, that's not really right, is it? You think we could rearrange them to make something better? Any idea? What should be the first letter? Which one do you think? L. Then we go for L. Okay. Okay, we put L first. Now we've got Lynette. I don't think that's right either, is it? Is there another way we could put the letters? Should we put this one first? Keep it at the end? Yeah, we'll keep it at the end, all right. Let's swap these two. Now, what does it spell? Okay, it spells the word Lent. And we're going to put that right here so all the grown-ups can see it and be reminded as well. And we've been talking about Lent, and we're in the season of Lent, and there's 40 days of Lent starting last Wednesday. 40 days when we are praying to God and thanking God for all kinds of wonderful things that He does for us. Isn't that nice? And we're going to say a prayer right now, and I've got one more thing for you to do later on, but I'll send you back to your seat for a minute while we get that organized. But let's say a prayer together, okay? And you can close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you for Lent. Thank you for your love. We pray in your name. Amen. Okay, we'll sing the last two verses seated, and then, like I say, we have another project for you guys to help me with later. Thanks for your help, boys and girls. We have a little project we're going to get you started on shortly, and Mrs. McCants is going to help you with those. Mrs. McCants, do you need these other pages? You okay? All right. Let's bow our heads as we prepare to hear God's word this morning. Lord, prepare our hearts to hear your word and obey your will by hearing it. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 91. It's kind of bouncing around a little bit. It's verses 1 and 2, and then we jump down to 9 to 16. This is traditionally a psalm originally composed by Moses and then reworked later again by David. Moses dedicated this composition to the tribe of Levi. This tribe in particular can be described as dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, for all the Levites spent their days in the insulated and sacred environment of the temple. They were the priests. And we've had some conversation about that. I know Donna and I asking about the Levites and the different people that came from that particular tribe, so to speak. This was traditionally held to be composed on the day that the construction of the tabernacle was done. And the tabernacle, if you remember, is not the temple. It's the tent version of the temple. It predates that. So they had to put this stuff together and tie it all up. And then every time when they move, they take it all down and go to the next place and put it all together. So this was a lovely words to thank God for having this tabernacle and God's presence with them. God is always with us, and this is something to remember in our time of Lent. Let's read responsively then, Psalm 91.
Psalm 91, verse 1, you who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord,
my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.
And moving to verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. On their hands they will beat you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Those who love me, I will deliver. When they call to me, I will answer them.
I will rescue them.
Thank you, Jim. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at verse 1, and that's on page 180 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Page 180, Deuteronomy chapter 26. The context of this particular reading today speaks of a particular Jewish festival. It's called the Festival of Weeks, and this is when an Israelite was to make an annual pilgrimage to the central sanctuary and the temple in Jerusalem, bringing the first fruits of their harvest and to thank God for the land's bounty. It's a great time, not only in Jewish life, but during Lent, a great opportunity to reflect and to thank God, not just for the land's bounty, but all of God's grace and love for us. This context takes us on our Lenten journey in so many ways, not just for reflection, but to thank God for his grace and love in our lives in so many different ways. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all of the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first fruit of that ground to you, that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in Romans chapter 10. That's on page 160 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, 160, Romans 10, beginning at verse 8. Paul is quoting this particular section from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, at the beginning of our reading in his letter to Rome. And in verse 10, he is also, this of our reading, he's thinking of Isaiah 28, verse 16. And again, in verse 13, he's quoting from Joel 2, verse 32. The point of all this quoting is to build a direct link in the mind of the Roman Church to the Old Testament. What God has said in the Old applies directly to the New. This is something important for us to grasp in our Lenten walk together. God is with us in the Old and in the New. They're not separated, nor does the New negate the Old. They work together to bring the total message of God's salvation, God's grace, God's love, and the faith that is a gift from God to us today. So I want us again to be thinking in our reflections during Lent, we are to remember the old and the new as one story of salvation and grace from God. Romans 10, beginning at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with the mouth and is so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And if you sounds, when we're reading this, some of the things that the devil is saying to Jesus in the wilderness, he's quoting directly from the psalm we read, Psalm 91, talking about the Lord will command angels concerning you to guard you on your way and so forth and so on. So he's talking to Jesus directly from Scripture. And this is the story of Lent. This is the story, this story is why we have Lenten for 40 days before Easter. This is the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness. This is a familiar story to most of us, but it's an important story of reflection and true inner soul searching. It's not just a story of Jesus being tempted by the things of the world. It's a story for all of us to know ourselves before God and during Lent, to realize we have a path that we need to be a certain in our heart. God is our help and our guide, and this story is a wonderful example of that very thing. Luke 4, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God. And let's join together now in our next hymn of praise, number 651, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer." Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. And I pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. How's the project going? It's going? Okay. Well, they're working on a project. I have a project for all of you. You have an envelope that was given to you during in the bulletin, and there's a paper clip. So I want to make sure you've got that, and just put it down for a moment. We're going to come back to it. I just want to make sure you've all got that. Now, if you were at the Ash Wednesday service this past week at Brant Hills with Curtis and myself, Reverend Curtis and myself, you've heard this little introductory story, but Curtis told me he liked it so much, he wanted me to make sure I included it again this morning. John Smith was the only Protestant to move into a large Catholic neighborhood. And on the first Friday of Lent, John was outside grilling a big juicy steak on his grill. Meanwhile, all of his neighbors were eating cold tuna fish for supper. And this went on for each Friday of Lent. On the last Friday of Lent, the neighborhood men got together and decided that something had to be done about John. He was tempting them to eat meat each Friday of Lent, and they just couldn't take it anymore. They decided to try and convert John to become a Catholic. So they went over and they talked to him and were very happy that he decided to join all of his neighbors and become a Catholic. They took him to the church and the priest sprinkled some water over him and said, "You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, and now you are a Catholic." The men were so relieved. Their biggest Lenten temptation had been resolved. Next year's Lenten season rolled around, and the first Friday of Lent came, and just at supper time, the neighbors noticed when they were settling down to their tuna fish dinner, there was this wafting smell of steak cooking on a grill. The neighborhood men couldn't believe their noses. What was going on? They called each other up and decided to meet over at John's yard to see if he had forgotten it was the first Friday of Lent. The group arrived just in time to see John standing over his grill with a small pitcher of water. He was sprinkling water over his steak on the grill and said, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, and now you are a fish." Well, Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent, and traditionally we give up things for Lent, and that's a story of giving things up. Lent comes from a very old word that means lengthen, basically, and the season is lengthening as we move into spring. Lent was probably known, unfamiliar to us, but more familiar in old times as quadragesima, which means the 40th or 40 days, where traditionally is a time for Christians to enter a period of self-reflection and prayer and become filled with an anticipation of the celebrations of Easter. The symbolism, obviously, of the 40 days has many roots. It includes the flood, wilderness, but the real inspiration, as we've mentioned already this morning, is taken from Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, where he, like Moses and Elijah, sojourned in preparation for his ministry. Now, on your envelope and also on your bulletin covers, you're going to see this logo, the Crucified King. And this is the theme that we're going to be running through for Lent, our afternoon services that they'll be starting this Wednesday, and our Sunday morning services will follow the same theme. We're talking about the King who was crucified, and each week we'll be looking at the King specifically on his journey to the cross. So the King tempted today in particular, and we see that clearly coming out in our gospel reading. It isn't easy finding God's King at the beginning of his earthly life, but it would even be more difficult at the end of his earthly life in so many ways. Who would ever expect God's King to be betrayed and denied and accused and mocked and crucified? Who would ever look for the King on the throne of a hill of disgrace? And who would ever look for God's glory in a crucified King? Where is this King of the Jews? And so that we don't miss him and miss all his benefits, the passion, the story of Easter, we're going to study through Matthew in most cases and clearly identify this King and what he had come to do. Matthew presents us Jesus, the King of glory, whose splendor is shown in his mercy of self-giving and love for sinners. Where is the King of the Jews is a question often asked as we read the various Gospels. Where man would never expect him to be? On the cross, bearing away our sins and rising victoriously over them in resurrection. And I say this every Lenten season, and particularly at Easter, and I also say it a lot at Christmas, I find myself saying, for Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the person who began our faith, Christ, Christianity. But Christmas only celebrates his birth particularly. And we could celebrate anybody's birth and make that a special day. So I could see why, in one sense, the early Scottish church decided to ban the idea of Christmas, because we were losing the whole idea of Christ and just having parties and not spending that time. The real difference for us as Christians was made at Easter. The Easter resurrection. Because again, it's not just that Jesus died, it's that he rose again from the dead. And in that rising from the dead, conquered sin and reunited us with God forever. So over the next 6 Sundays, I'm going to be giving you different items to put in this envelope to remember our Lenten journey of the crucified King. And you have, as I said in your bulletin, this envelope is to keep these items and put it on the fridge at home so you won't lose it. You'll be little things be put in there that you'll use during that week, and then when you come here Sunday, you put it in the envelope, get ready for the next one coming up. I hope that's clear. Because I know someone's going to say to me, why have I got this envelope? The author Adrian Plass, who is also a noted speaker, was quoted in an interview when he was being asked about his book, The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, Aged 37 and 3/4. He replied to some questions specifically about faith. I think mainly it's that people know they're useless, and that's why he's writing his book, really. Most of us feel sometimes like we're old rubbish. We come up against the challenges of Scripture and teaching and preaching and all those things, and a lot of people are really, really troubled that they don't match up to what's expected of them. And we kind of get away from the quote for a minute. It's because as Christians, there's an expectation that I have to be something in particular. And what Adrian Plass deals with in his book, in kind of a humorous way, is ways that he doesn't seem to measure up. And despite that, God loves him anyway. I think that the revelation that it's a common experience is a very relaxing one. When you read that someone says, for instance, I tried to move a paper clip, put it in your hand. Put your paper clips in your hands. This is our family Sunday, so there's lots of activities here. Put your paper clip in your hand. Adrian Plass is saying he read somewhere that I tried to move a paper clip by faith. And let's all see if we can do that. Stare at that paper clip really hard. See if you can make it move. Is it moving by faith? Is that paper clip moving? So the conclusion by the paper clip not moving, often by many Christian people, you can take it out of your hand now, often by many people, is that you aren't good enough. You don't have enough faith. You're just not strong enough Christian. You just don't get it. So if you really had enough faith, you'd make that paper clip move. And Adrian, in his book, Mr. Plass, says, God doesn't expect that from us. To read that somebody else does it, something about it being in print, gives validity to it, but it doesn't prove that it's true, and it also certainly doesn't seem true in my life. I know some people, as he says, who have said they just breathed a sigh of relief and thought, it's all right, I'm all right, I can be me. I don't have to worry about being a wonderful, wonderful, perfect Christian. So perhaps that's it. And I think that God rejoices in that too. I think that God says, that's good. Let's just relax and take it easy. So the paper clip this week is to remind you that faith is a gift from God. Faith is something that we can think about, but there's no measure. There's no expectation that you have to be this good a Christian to be a Christian. And that's the whole theory and belief of grace. Mr. Plass's book, he's probably read this scripture in Matthew 5, because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So like I say, in his book, he took that paper clip, he put it in his hand, he concentrated hard, tried to make it move, and of course it didn't. Mr. Plass felt as if he were a failure and didn't have enough faith. And that wasn't, therefore, he wasn't a very good Christian. But the point he came to realize in his story was that faith in Jesus was demonstrating in these words found in Matthew, weren't talking about moving mountains or paper clips. The faith that Jesus was talking about is our relationship with God provided through him. We are all here by God's gift of love and grace. And grace, there's volumes of books written on that particular one five-letter word. Grace. Grace is given freely, and grace is something that we do not fully understand. Because in our life, to one degree or another, I'm painting a very broad brush, so I pause momentarily. Because certainly in my life, some of the people in my life, and I'm sure we all have a common thought there, nothing is given freely. There's always a cost. There's always something that has to be paid. God's grace is something that is free. God's grace is something wonderful given to someone who doesn't deserve to have that grace given to them. And that's the grace of God. It's complicated. It's something that's hard to understand in our worldly experience. Again, the paperclip. I want us to remember that it's freely given by God. His grace and faith is a gift. It says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." Even our faith is a gift from God. God has given us many gifts each, and each one of us is also a gift because we can bless others in the way we live and the things that we do. And that's a gift from God as well. This week's Lenten challenge and reminder for you is this paper clip. Put it in the envelope or put it in your pocket maybe. Stick it on your coat. Don't lose it if you can. To remind you to pray and think and meditate on this idea of faith and God's grace. Now, I have another essential Lenten story, which the children have been working on. A very long time ago, in the early 600s, there was a man who worked for God. He was a monk. And a monk, in those days, typically stayed away from the world, went into, you know, we think of them in these big giant cathedral places and where there's no talking and a lot of prayer. But the idea is that a monk does everything in his life for God. And he lives in a special place with other monks who pray and read the Bible many times during the day. And as I said, they usually live in a building or a group of buildings for this purpose. It's called a monastery. It comes from the word monk. They grow their own food in many cases. And this particular monk had been in the kitchen where the other monks were baking a special bread for Lent. And he saw some leftover pieces of the dough and decided to use these pieces to make something special to remind him of prayer. He formed them into a common shape that the kids are going to show us in just a moment. The monk in our story lived a long time ago when you could not eat meat or milk or eggs at all during Lent. Those were things you had to give up. So he and his brother monks had to figure out this special bread that didn't use eggs or milk. And the monks were preparing a special Lenten bread that was made from water and flour and salt. It's a special product that we have to this very day, and most people don't directly link it to Lent and prayer, but it is a symbol of prayer. Now, have you got your project done, or at least one of them for me to show? Have you got it? Can you show? Can you bring it here? Bring it over here and show me. Good job. Let's see. Do you know what those are? Pretzels is what the monk made. And if you hold the pretzel the right way around, on the little project that I have for the boys and girls, it says on here, "Remember prayer." And if you take, everybody can do this too, if you take your hands and fold them over your chest, that's what a pretzel is symbolizing. That twist in the middle is to remember prayer. So when you're home this week, you're going to remember pretzels and your little paper clip. So you can be praying. Thank you, boys and girls, for working on that. Pretzels do remind us of prayer. Pretzels do remind us to spend time with God. By the way, when you're folding your arms to pray, that's the folding of your arms. We just kind of shortened it up to folding our hands together, but folding your arms to pray is that symbol. So the next time you're down watching a baseball game and you've got the giant pretzels, you make sure they hold them up the right way. And you can pray for the Blue Jays, I guess. It would be nice to resurrect this idea that pretzels are a spiritual reminder of God knowing a person's needs and answering those prayers, especially during this time of Lent. So I will have another item to give you when we're leaving this morning that you can put in your envelope to help you remind you of that. This time of Lent is a journey of 40 days. This time of Lent, we have 40 days in which to be praying, in which to be thinking of God, in which to be spending time in Scriptures, and, as we shared on Ash Wednesday service, to be doing something new. Every single day, there's something you can do to show God's love and share God's love. It doesn't have to be big, just something. And you can get creative in that. And as we work through Lent in the next number of weeks, we'll be talking about some different ideas and discussing these things. And I think, again, I want to thank the boys and girls for their coloring today and cutting those papers out to show us that symbol of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we move through these next 6 weeks, these next 40 days, Lord, we pray that you can truly speak to us and that we can truly spend time speaking to you. Help us to come up with creative ways, Lord, in which we can pray, which we can think on you, in which we can do something to show your love and your grace in our world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And now, as recipients of an abundant life in Christ, abundant, 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 we now offer our gifts to God. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you provide for us in so many material ways, Lord. We return some of that to you now and ask that you will bless it and use it to your glory in this world, to bring your grace and your love and your faith to all those in need. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. God calls us to be a praying people, and Lent is a special time for that, and we have a special time in our services each week where we have the privilege of coming before God and answering that call. So let us join our hearts in prayer and offer our requests and intercessions on behalf of those in our lives. Let's bow our heads. Lord, you are the source of love and compassion, and you love your children, you love your creation. And so, Lord, we offer prayers on that compassion for the hungry, for the sick, those who are sick in mind, who might be sick in body, who might be sick in spirit or heart. Lord, we pray for those who may feel a little weak in their faith, and that this paperclip gives us that reminder of that, that reminder, Lord, that you give us the faith we need. Our responsibility, Lord, is to be spending our time speaking to you, reading your word, and acting in our world as you would have us act. Help us remember that it's not how much faith we have, but that we have faith, the gift. Lord, we pray for the lonely. We pray for those who are depressed, those who are feeling very alone, especially this weekend, since it's Valentine's Day today and Family Day tomorrow, and there are people who don't fit those typical descriptions, and those two particular days can become very, very hard. Lord, we pray for those living in fear and those living under so much stress that's affecting their bodies and their minds. We pray for those, Lord, who are in a time of grief in their life where they've lost someone dear. Pray that you will strengthen them and help them to renew that gift of faith and love. And remember the good times, Lord, that you have been with them and will continue to be with them. We pray for the unemployed, Lord. We pray for those who are rejected in our community. We pray for those who are burning with hatred, Lord, those who want to bring about bad things for other people. And we pray that you can calm that, cool that burning. Strengthen us, Lord, to work for their healing and inspire us to continue to build with you the kingdom of love in which none will cause suffering to others and all will be caring, loving children of yours, our compassionate, all-embracing, grace-giving God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we move through the next 40 days or 36 days or whatever's left now, lost count, but the next 6 weeks as we move towards Easter, let us let Christ lead us in all ways. And in that light, we sing our last hymn this morning, Lead On, O King Eternal, 742. Into this season of Lent and live in the spirit of your baptism, even when you're led into wild and hard places. With repentance and trust, give yourselves to God, and with fasting and prayer, strengthen yourselves against the ways of the tempter. And may God enfold you in tender and lasting love. May Christ be beside you in times of struggle, and may the Spirit guide you back to the path wherever you stray, that you may keep the covenant. We go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.